1 Timothy 3, and to focus just on verse 16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Now, this has a certain ring to it that suggests it's a kind of, at least a poem, possibly a verse from a hymn, and there's a tradition that this was recited in the water by baptismal candidates, a sort of summary of the work of Jesus. But there's bits and pieces that are a bit odd. Right, first of all, God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus was not God, but God was manifest in him. Number two, justified in the spirit. Well, I think that's the resurrection, because we're told in Romans 1, verse 4, that Jesus was resurrected and thereby justified in the spirit. Number three, seen of angels. Yes, at the resurrection, Jesus was seen of angels. Four, preached to the Gentiles. Five, believed on in the world. Six, received up into glory. Well, that's clearly the ascension of Jesus. It's four and five that are a bit tricky there in the chronology. God was manifest in the flesh, okay, in the life of Jesus, I'm going to suggest specifically in his death. Justified in the spirit, in the resurrection, yes. Seen of angels at the resurrection, yes. Preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world. I suggest that although Paul is writing here in Greek, he's thinking in Hebrew, and there is in Hebrew this prophetic perfect tense. That is, things are spoken of which are yet future, but in the past tense, because it's so certain that God's word will come true. What happened after Jesus was seen of angels at the resurrection was that he gave the Great Commission to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, and he who believes and is baptized will be saved. So when he says preached unto the Gentiles, you could mean this as meaning he will be preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world. The obedience to the Great Commission would be believed by some. There would be people in the world who would believe it. And then we're more comfortable with the last bit, received up into glory, the ascension. So I'll run through the verse, as it were, again. And I want to suggest that the first section, the first point, God was manifest in the flesh, is specifically talking about the death of Jesus. So, God was manifest in the flesh, Jesus died, with God supremely manifested in his death, justified in the spirit, yeah, he was resurrected, Romans 1:4, seen of angels, yes, at the resurrection, preached to the Gentiles, he commanded that this message about him would be preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, yes, he would be believed on in the world through their witness, and received up into glory, the ascension. One little takeaway from that is that obedience to the Great Commission was going to work. Somebody was going to believe. As I say, the past tense is used to describe something that was yet future. He would be preached to the Gentiles and believed on. The Great Commission that was given after he was seen of angels and before he was seen, received up into glory, would be obeyed, he would be preached, and there would be response. Some would believe when they were told that he who believes and is baptized will be saved. So as we go out to obey the Great Commission, someone is going to respond. That was known right at the start, and as we know, of course, many people have responded already. So, God was manifest in the flesh. I suggested that that referred specifically to God's manifestation in Jesus on the cross and in his death. I say that because of how the word for manifest is used elsewhere in the New Testament. I'll just read you a few of them. Hebrews 9. Jesus has appeared, been manifested, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So the manifestation of God in Jesus was at his sacrifice. 1 Peter 1, Jesus is the Lamb without blemish and without spot, and by the precious blood of Christ we are redeemed. He was known before the foundation of the world. The Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. That there's a connection between the manifestation of Jesus and him being the Lamb without blemish and without spot, and having and shedding his precious blood. On John 3, you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. Well, he was taking away our sins on the cross. You know that he was manifested to take away our sins. He was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Well, the works of the devil, our sins, were destroyed, as Paul says in Hebrews 2, on the cross. So, I think there is a connection there between the manifestation of God and the death of Jesus. It's because in his death there, this was the absolutely most public, most gripping, most intimate declaration and manifestation of God's saving love for the world. And you remember that there was written over his head, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews," and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. You think about it written in Hebrew, and you think of the first letter of the four words that would have been used in Hebrew to say Jesus, Nazareth, King, Jews. This is of the Jews. Those little words aren't there in Hebrew, just like in Russian and various languages, but they're words that are needed in English. But in a lot of languages, you don't need that, and they don't use those. They use cases rather than prepositions. So there were four words written there in Hebrew to express Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And those words, if you look at the first letter of each word, it spells, reading from right to left, of course, YHVH, Yahweh, the name of God. So I think that's why the Jews minded it. They said, take it down. And I think Pilate may have been sort of goading them when he says, I have written what I have written. It's a kind of bit of an allusion to the Yahweh name. I am that I am. I have done what I have done. So Jesus there, covered in blood and spittle, naked, humiliated, absolutely mocked, not wanted. This was God manifest in the flesh. Of course, he was not God himself. God cannot die. It's as simple as that. I'm not a Trinitarian. But it is nonetheless true that in the person of Jesus, in his life and specifically in his death, you see there this supreme manifestation of God. This is God loving us. This is God giving himself for us through his Son. And so God was manifest in the flesh. This is how close God wished to become. God commended his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. As if his love needs any commendation, but he did do this. He commended his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. So you see there how God is so passionate for our salvation. He could have saved those who wished to be saved in any manner of means that he chose. He was not duty-bound to give his Son. People say, but he had to because of the prophecies and the principles of the law of Moses and so on. Well, yes, but that only pushes the question a stage further back. He didn't have to do that. All this was structured by him purposefully and willfully. And why so? I think because he is, as it were, so desperate to interrelate with us, to save us, to become intimate with us. And in that sense, God was manifest in Christ supremely in his death on the cross. And so because of that, he is indeed to be preached to the Gentiles and believed on in the world.